strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never reconcile.
Oh, the bunch time. The
silence is gone. Like the tiger of old, the storm and the bones of the tiger.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's a big week.
It is a very big week.
Do you remember last year, actually, it was our grand final preview, and one of the ideas I was most proud of was that, you know, as exciting as it had been, as fantastic, you know, unexpected, whatever else, that really... it didn't mean all that much if you only make the grand final and lose. That, you know, they don't do reunions for grand final teams mostly. Although I have heard of a reunion for the 1995 team, but yeah, really, there's a line between premiership teams and everyone else, and I think that line, you know. Nobody remembers the 2011 Collingwood team, 2007 Geelong team, even Adelaide last year. Teams that have had a great regular season, that have been clearly the best team throughout the year, and then they lose the grand final. They're not remembered for anything other than being a disappointment. So the stakes are enormous for this one.
Yeah, and just to add to that, when I look... briefly, I won't go into this, but when I look at the two teams we'd be playing next week, I think whoever wins this game is going to... the winner of this game, barring major injuries, is going to win next week. So, essentially... or is highly likely to. Mm. So, essentially, the winner of this game gets everything. So, you know, as they say, banners and flags fly forever. And so... and this game will be... not only will they have bragging rights, will have bragging rights over the other team, but they'll go down in history.
Mm.
So, yep, it's the most meaningful game you can possibly imagine outside a grand final.
I know, and the other thought I had was actually the Geelong team I was thinking of for 2008, but the, you know, we're starting comfortable favourites. There's both the rational side of me and then all the statistics, and I'm sure we'll talk about them. And then there's the irrational side to me that looks at those two games we played against Collingwood this week and this year and thinks, oh, you know, if things had turned differently, if we'd been the one with an early injury in both games, maybe. Yeah, and that's plaguing me.
It is. And that was my early look at it, and that was my impression of the Pies, and also because they statistically dominated us during the midfield, especially in the second game.
Especially in the second game, yeah.
But the more I looked about it, the more I felt better about it, Nick, and the more confident I've got. And, you know, there's a reason why at the end of the season our percentage was 16 points better than theirs.
Mm. Well, there is a... the other... that's a very good stat. Another one is Collingwood's record against top eight teams is 2-8, and our record's 8-2. And look, there's a few close games that could have gone either way in there, but the broader story of that Collingwood have been a often worthy but not quite elite team consistently, and so it would be theft if they win.
I don't know. I mean, they finished. Yeah, they finished top four.
They're a very good team. On the year, but they're not they're, you know, they're one of a pack of good teams, and for them to win a premiership would from here would be would honest. It, I mean, I suppose to be honest, it would feel like our premiership last year, and I honestly think that we're about a 50% chance to win the flag, and all the other three teams together, you know, they've got a roughly 15 to 20% chance. Well, more like 15% chance each. So for each of them, they're full of hope, but not all that much expectation. And we're all expectation. And yeah,
it's a different feeling.
It's a different feeling. As is normally the case, I'm barely coping emotionally with it.
Oh yeah, it's very difficult. And to go into a game as an overdog against a team you despise, and sort of. I don't like Eddie Maguire at the best of times.
No. I kind of admire this version of the Collingwood team and the way that Nathan Buckley has risen above the chaos and the mismanagement off the field. You know, and the Daniel Wells and Chris Main and, you know, Gubby Allen leaving in disgrace. Like they've had a lot of drama. So to make the grand final is highly praiseworthy for the team, but yeah, God, every time I see Eddie be happy, it makes me feel sick.
Well, it was really something that struck me is when he went on the warpath about the 6-day break and what a disgrace it is for Collingwood and AFL Nita. And you know, it was despite the article losing its way halfway through, the AFL.com printed out a perfectly good article that showed that there's no correlation between having a 6-day break and being any worse performance the week after.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly enough, 6-day break doesn't matter.
And you know how they would have avoided a 6-day break? By winning their first final.
Which, in fairness, they came very close. But it's like, you know, it's okay for pundits to go on about 6-day breaks and ordinary fans, you know, but it is inside a club. And he knows how well they manage fatigue these days and how they manage weeks off. And to sort of go on the warpath about that, look, either he's deliberately ignorant or he's lying to his supporters to appeal to their prejudices to create a little sideshow.
Oh, look, he has known for a long time that, you know, the spectacle is all that matters and the substance. You know, when he and Hawthorn led the war against revenue equalisation on the basis that it was football socialism and clubs wouldn't try and win a premiership. Like, football clubs have no purpose other than to try and win premierships. They are.
Yeah, they're not like American sports franchises. That's right. They have no purpose.
No, there are no welfare cheats in football. Although, you know, sometimes you could be mistaken with the Gold Coast Suns, but. Yeah, football clubs are miserable on a Monday after a loss, and they are. Yeah. There's nothing better than a walking after a win. And it was a nonsense. One of dozens of nonsense arguments that Eddie's mounted over the years. And the fact that his expensive, overproduced fossil of a television show that his production company makes these days is tanking in the ratings compared to the front bar, which is made for a quarter of the price, makes me happy in ways I can barely express.
Yeah, so on to Collingwood. They have a game plan which the statistics love. It's a very statistic-friendly game. The basic statistics, they're number one in the AFL for disposals and you know, other ball movement. But the advanced stats...
And disposal differential as well.
That's right, and the advanced stats loves them too. You know, they've got three players in the top 20. Grundy is beloved, partly because of his contested ball work, which is really impressive. Scott Pendlebury, Tredor, Sidebottom, Adams, they're all in the top 50. And this is it's a game plan that gets lots of inside forward 50 entries, but you know, Nick, what they're not so good at.
Beating good teams?
Well, yes, that, and keeping the ball inside 50.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah, so they're not, and this is, I think, part of the thing, the problem, the flip side to the Mason Cox story. You know, he's great. He's great personality. Wish he'd chosen Richmond instead of Collingwood.
Yeah, we had a crack at him, apparently, and had a crack at him last off-season. He's yet to score in two finals games.
Yep, he is a great big immobile plank who, cool Twitter work aside, hurts their defensive forward pressure. And this is one of the things I think it's going to be tough to beat us if you allow us to rebound and you allow us to get inside 50s, because once we're inside 50, we keep it in there.
Yeah, that's true. The flip side of him rucking against anyone other than Nank worries me.
Yes. And we did have trouble with that. You know, some people have done some stats on this about Mason Cox, but we actually had a lot of trouble with Grundy against Nank. Nank had a great game in round six.
Yeah, career high game for Nank in round six. 10 coaches' votes for Grundy in the round 19 clash.
Yeah, and this is the thing. In that game, like, one of the keys to the game, they are a good clearance team. And we have been a terrible clearance team throughout the year, but we tend to be better at it in finals.
Turned up to play against Hawthorn.
Yeah, turned up to play. Just lost, but close enough it didn't matter. Because if we're close, it doesn't matter. And for the first time all year, Dusty's injury aside, we've got a fully functioning Death Star midfield. You know, against Pies in round 19, Prestia started really strongly, you know, was sort of the third or fourth midfielder, almost helped win us the game in the first and second quarter before he broke his rib and sort of went out of the game after that. But this week, we've got Webb batting deep in the middle. Like, this is not a 1-2 punch midfield, neither of them. You've got to go 4-5 deep, and we're both going to go 4-5 deep. And I think that gives us an advantage, because while their midfielders are great at getting outside possessions, particularly side bottoms and Crisp, they're not necessarily going to... Phillips.
Yeah, Phillips doesn't kill you with his disposal.
It gets lots of outside ball, though. But, you know, they've got a... I think when we go full deep, when it starts to 5-6 deep in the midfield, that's when it comes advantage us.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It probably won't surprise you to know side bottom averages more disposals against us than he does any other Melbourne team. We've always struggled to get a match up for him, and yeah, Pendlebury gets a lot of football against us as well.
Yep.
And yet we've beaten them the last three games.
Second, fifth, 13th and 21st highest uncontested possessions for the game for the year.
Yeah.
Second, fifth, 13th and 21st highest uncontested possession game winners. Our first is number 36.
Yeah.
Wow. That's Jaden Short.
Yeah.
Like, that. This is the still side bottom is going to get a lot of outside ball. It's not necessarily going to cost us the game.
No, they are. Actually, both teams are a bit clanger prone. I mean, part of that is the Richmond style of just forcing it forward, hacking it forward at all costs. But yeah, we saw particularly the Collingwood fan I was sitting next to in round 19, who had his head in his hands repeatedly saying things about Phillips I can't repeat. But yeah, they can cough the ball up, and we can punish them for that.
Yep, and they did it a lot. They're all their key mids went under 50%. I think most of them when they played us in round 19. And again, you know, you can get the soft position off around the grounds, but it's what you do with the inside 50, and can you stop the rebound? The other thing I'll say, this is why it's the midfield battle is crucial, because if they're just sort of winning all the clearances and pumping it in, that makes it harder to come back all the time, because they are going to get a lot of entries through winning the clearance, winning contested ball, and then pinging their ball control game.
Yeah, and we need to, like, Josh Thomas did a great job in the last game of getting to the feet of Cox. De Goey will be playing this time. Like, yeah, De Goey and Treloar are big, you know, we're fully operational. Touchwood, Dusty's fit. But, yeah, Treloar and De Goey are pretty big, and Howe, essentially, are pretty big inclusions.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, they lose people on the flip side, and I know much has been made of this, and he might not play on him, but Grimes did a number on De Goey in round six.
Mm. Yeah. And as is always, I just roll my eyes at when they go on about matchups. Like, we play a pretty set structure. Like, Asprey will probably play on Cox most of the time, but for the rest of them, there'll be a structure, and, you know, who plays on whom will be determined by who is where close to the goal.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. One of the match previews I read said that, oh, Mason Cox needs to play tighter on Dave Asprey because Dave Asprey got 22 touches on Mason Cox in round 19. I don't know if you remember round 19, Nick, but part of the panic was when Mason Cox controlled the ball nicely a few times when he was one-on-one with Alex Rantz. You know, all I'm saying is that it's the focusing on individual matchups is nonsensical.
Mm. Yeah, but it's a way of sort of helping make it easy to explain for people, which, yeah, you know, I can see why people do it.
Well, Nick, I'm going to break this down in my easy over-to-explain way. In both the two games we played them this year, we had 40 to 50 less disposals, and in both games we had 55% of the forward territory battle.
Yeah.
So we don't kick the ball as much, but we get the ball inside 50 and we keep it there more.
Yeah. Yeah, plus 16 inside 50s the first time, plus 10 the second time. Yeah. Significantly more scoring shots.
Yep, balls in our forward half more often.
Hmm. Yeah, need to convert. I mean, cliche to say so.
Yep, well, yeah. And look, it's going to be a close game, and it's true in all close games.
Yeah. Hopefully, we also saw in round 19 that Cox is quite accurate within 40 metres, but doesn't have, you know, stunts. Just loses the satellite from 45.
Mm. Now, we do need to address Dusty's corky, which the club has confirmed that he has, but, you know, it's all how bad it is. He has, after all, had 2 weeks off. I'm reminded by a friend of the podcast, Ollie Noonan, who's a Colts fan, tells an anecdote of when Peyton Manning was in his prime. Peyton Manning was a star quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts back in the day, and one of the players asked, what's our backup plan if Peyton gets injured? And the coach said, there is no backup plan. If Peyton gets injured, we're all effed. So that's how I feel about Dusty. You know, you can't lose the best player in the AFL and win a premiership. So, you know, he's either playing reasonably close to full effectiveness, and we're going to run close, but if he's completely hobbled and useless, I mean, I'm sure he'll play, but if he's useless, it's been a great year, but we have a reasonable excuse why things didn't go our way.
He did. Yeah, it was a sublime Dusty up forward effort the last time we played them. Maybe we see a bit more of that.
Maybe. I don't think he's as effective as a forward if he has to camp down there. I think part of the thing is he rolls through and confuses people with matchups. Yeah,
that's true. And he's matching up on Greenwood or someone. Like, if he's on Jeremy Howe, that's quite a different situation.
I think the most likely outcome is he's about 90% of himself.
Because,
I mean, you know, he quote never gets injured, but he never misses a game with injury. But, you know, you speak to anyone who knows players like that, and they have fast recovery times because everyone gets injured. It's just how quickly they recover from the scrapes and pain. So, I suspect Dusty will be playing and be pretty close to fully functioning.
Fingers crossed. Do we make any changes?
Oh, it's the Broad question, isn't it?
Mm.
The thing is, who do you bring in for Broad?
Butler trained well.
Butler. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, but who do you bring in for Butler?
Two choices. So I'm actually thought about this on the bus on the way home today. If I had to rank our last four players, I'd argue Broad is the one in least form.
Yep.
Conker is the one who is least essential in the position he plays. And the next two players after that are Graham and McIntosh, and they've both played well recently, and you can't drop them. So it's essentially Broad versus Conker, and the thought of, you know, Hooley having to play on someone who can mark worries me too much. Like, Hoskin Elliott played well against GWS. Yeah, I think if Broad's fit, you've got to play him. And, yeah, and you've got to drop Conker, which is awful.
Yeah, and the thing is, if Dusty's not fully fit and you need someone to roll through the midfield...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's no... And, you know, Butler... You know, Butler is a really fit guy, but he hasn't played in 6 weeks. So to go from that to a red-hot preliminary final.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was great in the club pre-season, in the grub inter-club match, apparently. So, you know, kicked the ass of Corey Ellis or whoever he was playing against. It's a big...
It's a huge call.
It is a huge call when you're winning all the time.
Mm.
You know, coaches need a reason to change winning formulas, and the formula is quite successful.
And you're fit, and you just feel... I mean, we're in a lucky situation. There's only one serious selection issue, but you feel for them. It is it's the sort of the duck paddling on the surface of the stuff. Like, are there, you know, Conker's, you know, been in the media that Fremantle have offered him a 3-year deal, which, you know, is fantastic, and he should take it if it's true. But, you know, he's trying to decide about, you know, all his future's on the line, and he's not certain, and I'm sure, and he's just played in his first winning final after more than 100 games in 7 years. Like, oh my God.
With a dry day, it does make it harder.
Yeah.
Makes it harder to drop Broad, makes it harder to justify bringing Butler in.
Mm. Yeah, it's really, and the weather forecast is fine. It's really tough. We've talked before that it is just you particularly feel the guys who are emergencies for this game, having, you know, even at the extremely mediocre level of football that we played at, you know, I was an emergency for the grand final, and so you bring all your kit, and, you know, and you do warm-ups just in case, but, yeah, it's just not the same.
Fairness, they got flogged that day, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
we're overmatched, but, yeah.
Bottom line, what would you do?
I would, unless Butler just looked like a complete weapon and his GPS testing's off the charts, I think you've got to stay the course.
So would I, which I can't believe I'm saying, but I am saying that Reece Conker should play in a preliminary final.
Yeah, and if Dusty looks great on training on Thursday, and honestly, I don't think, I think he should just do some really gentle stuff on Thursday in front of the media, and then go train inside just for the giggles.
All right. So, wrapping it up, 16.5 point favourites.
Yeah.
In at first,
and the other thing that tells me that Dusty's injury isn't that bad is that the betting line was set on Sunday, and all the all the is he going to train, is he not going to train stuff hasn't moved the betting line at all.
Yep. Which, good point. Which very good
you,
point.
You would. Dusty pulling out would move the line about 4 to 5 points.
Oh, so, easily. Yeah. Or just being in danger of pulling out, being quite badly injured would move.
Yeah, you'd tell. So
and for, apparently, actually, the money's gone the other way.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's just what one guy said on the TV. Oh, anyway, okay. Having done the analysis, at first I was a lot more worried about this being a 50-50 game based on the last week, but I just don't think... Although Collingwood have come home with a late rush, I just don't think they're as good overall as we perhaps that round 19 game. After that round 19 game, we all adjusted for Collingwood's injuries and I thought, wow, they played really well, but I'm readjusting that adjustment, and I'm not as convinced that we saw that what you remember is them having the football all the time and getting lots of possession, but actually in practice they do that a lot and they don't necessarily convert it.
Oh, I hope you're right. I'm going to be a nervous wreck, and I got to say, registering for grand final tickets was a slightly less surreal experience the second time, but it's still. Still pretty surreal.
Speaking of grand final, Nick, I wanted to raise an issue with you.
Yes.
I'll talk about the grand final first. That you will know Australian rock legend Dave Graney, Nick.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He suggested that they should have an instrumental at grand final day, including the Dirty Three, one of your favourite bands.
Oh. I'm not sure. Inducing the crowd to self-harm. Melancholy self-harm is quite what they're going for. Yeah, I'll be, if we make it, I'll be, touch wood, I'm there. I'll be stressed out of my mind.
But I can't believe just the extraordinary kind of a power of committee decision-making. To choose the Black Eyed Peas and Jimmy Barnes. Like the most unimaginative marketing execs idea to appeal to as many demographics as possible. Nick, by the way, the Black Eyed Peas, before Fergie joined them, were a really high cred rap band, and then Fergie joined them and they did Where Is The Love, and they sort of sold out a bit and became much more mainstream.
I saw them in a big day out, and they were one of the worst live acts I've ever seen.
So what do you reckon they're going to do? Do you think they're going to go back to their old catalogue, play, When the Weekend Comes and all the other cool songs that they had? Hey, Mr. DJ, when you play a song? Or are they going to just get a backing singer in to sing Fergie, Where Is The Love?
I heard the Footy Girls podcast did an interview with... I can't remember the name of the band, sadly, but they played a grand final years ago, and yeah, there was a big dispute about whether or not they would be allowed to play live or not on the day. But yeah, I just couldn't care less.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's just weird to actually have a band I used to genuinely like.
I loved the Killers last year, particularly the Midnight Oil cover. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and the other thing we have to mention is the crowd. The fact that apparently Richmond pre-sales were 2-1 to Collingwood.
I did notice that they drew 72,000 to GWS in the preliminary final. It's about 23,000 less than we did.
Yeah, semi-final, but yeah, exactly. It's quite remarkable. It doesn't mean we'll win, but... at least temporarily, the debate is over about who's Australia's biggest club.
As of right now, if they'd had a season on top, then maybe be look a bit different. We should mention, amidst all the noise, we mentioned about Conker's future. I mean, there's speculation about Miles and Corey Ellis, Brandon Ellis, Jacob Townsend. Yeah, there's a lot going on, but very glad in the past week they've announced Greg Hawley re-signed for a year. Oleg Markov re-signed for 2 years, which, I have to admit, both pleased me, but surprised me. And Liam Baker has agreed to another year on the rookie list.
Yeah, which is all nice. I'm glad for, you know.
Yep, I'm happy with all of those.
And keeping Oleg and Hulley for two and Hulley for one seems like a bit of a bet each way. You know, you're keeping the all-right option. But one of the, like, if you're not in the premiership window, guys like Grigg and Hulley go. Guys you like, been around forever. But that's the great thing about them being in the premiership window is...
And they've both played well.
Yeah,
recently,
less so. Like, Hulley, you know, I think... You know, if we weren't running it back, I think Hulley might be in a bit of trouble. But Grigg has been really strong in the second half of the year. So reward for performance, but also part of the reward of, you know, being a top team. When you're a bad team, you go 1 year too early. When you're a good team, you go 1 year too late, and that's absolutely fine. It's completely rational, and It's been a long relationship with these guys throughout the life of our podcast, but I think we've always loved them both.
Sean Grigg, back-to-back Premiership Ruckman, would sound pretty sweet.
Yeah, and your long-term Sean Grigg thesis that he's not quite appreciated because people don't know, fans don't know quite how to deal with mediocre players. Like, they know
average.
How to deal with crack players, average, you're right, average players, know how to deal with good players and crap players, but average players, it's sort of hard to place them. But he has remained a good, solid contributor for an extraordinarily long amount of time.
Yeah. Longevity is a skill.
And consistency, really.
Yeah, true. He's anything but average in our hearts.
Yes, and well said. And he's flexible. He's reinvented his game a couple of times.
I know. Yeah, I love it when... Like, occasionally he just doesn't contest at all and sharks the tap. He's a really smart footballer.
I would just remind people that actually in Carlton he played as an inside tagger.
Yeah. Look, I love this team so much. I really want them to win.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.